right?
Well, I said that before, but then
I'm going to take me 10 minutes tops. So if you want to do special buck first, and then MMA, that's fine.
How long will special buck take? That's what I was thinking, taking a while. So why don't we just do you at 19, and then we can quit for the day. We have plenty of time tomorrow. Well, I'd like to do that, but let's see.
3508.
Right. Let's see how you do, John, and if the group thinks we could do special buck, then we will. If they would rather, we wait till the morning, we'll wait.
Good evening, Mr. Chair. I guess we can say evening. It's after 5 o'clock. So John Kotelnik, staff attorney, Game Fish Parks. If you turn your books to page 19, this will look somewhat familiar as we've been bringing these packages to you for the last several months. And just to kind of a refresher, this is a systematic review of our rules, going through something that Andy Albin and I have been doing with every single rule that we have, over 700 and some pages, looking at the rules, looking at ways we can reduce redundancy, increase the transparency of the rules, and just improve overall consistency. So you'll see a whole laundry list of rules that's in Chapter 6, which is the hunting chapter. So obviously that is the largest chapter we have. In fact, they have over 61 chapters in Chapter 6, sections in Chapter 6. So I won't go line by line and tell you everything that we did, unless you really want me to, but we might be here till 9 o'clock. No. So I will speak generally about actually Article 6. The things that we updated was going through and making sure that the correct authority was cited in each of the administrative rules, because in order to pass an administrative rule, the first thing that the IRC and the LRC look at is whether or not the commission has the authority to do what they do. So a lot of times, you know, over the course of time, sometimes things got missed, and Andy and I go back over and make sure that the authority that's cited in the rule is in fact the actual authority that gave the commission to do what they did. So we updated a lot of the authority. Some of the common themes that we did within this article was organizing certain chapters and sections into each other so that they made sense. If you know, you're talking about, well, paddlefish will be in the next article, but you know, we had paddlefish scattered out throughout the whole article, and we moved them all under one chapter. So things like that as far as organizing. And then clarity was a big one. There was a lot of times where we use different terms when we are actually talking about the same thing, so we went through and just uniformly adopted the same term as far as clarity. And then, you know, we just kind of went through and made sure things made common sense. You know, one example that sticks out in my mind is that if you recall last year, we had an issue where our administrative rules say that you had to have your ice shacks off the ice by, I believe it's March 1st. No in ands, ifs, or buts. If you guys recall, last year we were had quite a bit more snow than right now, and it would basically made it impossible for those gentlemen, for those ice fishermen, to get their ice shacks off the ice. And it was asked to me, I said, do we have the authority to extend that date? And the legal answer was no, but you know, for out of safety concerns, it just made sense to extend it. So the thing that we added in that specific rule was the discretion of the secretary. He can extend that date based on weather circumstances and things like that. So those are the kind of things we did within Article 6 as well as Article 7. So I can go through and give you the same spiel about Article 7. But again, we looked at the authority. Article 7 is the fish chapter for those of you who aren't familiar with it. But we looked at the authority, how the rules were organized, made sure there was clarity, made sure that the terms they were using were consistent, and then again at the end of the day we applied just a common sense approach to make sure the rules that were out there actually made sense to achieve what the intent was. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd ask a favorable vote on two. I guess you could do them two separately if you want. Article 6, Article 4106, and then on page 19A, Article 4107.
Move to approve 4106.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor of the 4106, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Now move to approve 4107.
Is there a second? Okay. Discussion? If no discussion, all in favor of 4107, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. So I think they would, those guys are here. They'd rather us address, so let's address non-resident East River special deer, and then we'll be done and begin in the morning.
Mr. Chairman, we'll move on to number 22 in your booklet, the East River deer hunting season, in reference to the special buck that you just referenced. Again, this was initially brought forward as a petition to the commission, which was accepted to have some public input on it. Quickly, what the proposal in front of you does that you accepted from the petition was to establish that non-resident East River special any whitetail deer licenses and the associated fee. Secondly, annually allocate 500 of those non-resident East River special any whitetail deer licenses. And then number three and four are the same criteria under the special buck licenses that we have available right now for both residents and non-residents in the other places. First, the applicant must have permission from an owner or lessee of private land before applying, and that the application must also include the name and telephone number of those individual landowners that they receive that permission while putting in that application. Obviously, you received a lot of comments on this particular topic. You've had several folks here and in the remote stations providing comment to you today. As an agency, we come forward to you essentially as a neutral position on this, neither in opposition or support of it. But the important thing that I do want to share with you is the conversation and the question that has come in before you as a commission body and as individual commissioners, as well as our agency. Over the last couple of years, we've went through the deer management plan and discussions of the deer drawing structure. Questions have come again about the interest from non-resident landowners having the opportunity to go deer hunting on their own property. That's probably been the main theme or question or request that has come to you and us and others in those conversations. And so while we come to you before you as neutral, we do believe that there is the necessity to continue that dialogue and discussion on that very topic. And I know you as a commission body have mentioned that as well. We as staff have gotten together and thrown some ideas. We have to further go through them a little bit more, but we would certainly be ready to have some conversations in upcoming commission meetings to further talk about potential alternatives or options or ideas around that notion, which some of those could actually include or require legislative action as well, just because of the landowner-owned land topic. But we do believe that is a topic that's worth continuing that dialogue and discussion. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I will turn this back to you. Obviously, the 500 licenses we don't see as a biological concern or issue on the grand scheme of things. So this is one of those key social items, again, that you have tackled time and time again over the last year, and they're not easy. Totally understand. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will turn it over to you and the commissioners for discussion and questions, and we can go from there.
Thank you. Commissioner Sharp.
Commissioner Sharp here. Thanks, Tom. You know, this is a tough issue. You know, we have a tendency to tell everybody we're open for business unless you're a non-resident, want to come in and hunt deer, or non-resident want to come in and hunt ducks. And, you know, I really struggle with that because people have a tendency to talk about science doesn't justify this, but we don't use science when it comes to how many waterfowl we have to shoot. We use that as a social issue, as you pointed out. My concern on the 500, I don't see that's a big deal. I've got some ideas on that. One of the concerns I would have is with some of the health issues we're having within the deer population. With the addition of 500 non-resident, if any business entity started up leasing land, or, you know, landowners over there, you know, set up facilities to try and, you know, get more people hunting there, and then in a few years we have to reduce those numbers, I'm afraid we'd be hit with, you know, I've developed a business on this, you owe me for deer tags or something. So I'm a little concerned about that, and I get why people are concerned about the fact that it could commercialize hunting, and yet most of the people that don't want this to happen, if I ask them if they've ever paid to go hunt somewhere, the majority of them are going to say yes. And if I ask most of them if they've ever taken anybody hunting in South Dakota and had somebody buy them dinner, give them a gift certificate for their trouble, the majority of them would probably say yes. So I think it's a little disingenuous to say they don't want to see commercialization and adding tags. But I get why that's there's going to be some pushback on that. I'm real disappointed that the non-resident landowner issue in eastern South Dakota was not resolved. I'm just one of those that believe that if you're a landowner, you're paying taxes, you're feeding the wildlife just like a resident landowner. So because you live out of state does not take away anything from what you've invested in that property. So I'm glad you feel that there could be some potential opportunity for that, because in many instances, our non-resident landowners probably take better care of the property for habitat and wildlife than our working lands landowners do. And I get why. I mean, if you're growing crops to put food on the table, that makes a lot of sense. These other people that invest in land, set up trees, food plots, it's for the habitat, and we're huge in habitat in South Dakota. We just got a habitat stamp. We push it, and yet we penalize the very people that are doing a lot of the investment in that habitat. So I really struggle with that. I hope we work towards a resolution where we can get some non-resident landowner tags in eastern South Dakota, because everybody who's around those areas that have all this great habitat benefit from the wildlife that are there. And so I think it's time we really address the fact that we can't keep penalizing people for wanting to invest in our state. So having said all that, circling back to the beginning on that, I'm not ready to support 500 extra tags for non-residents in eastern South Dakota. And if there's that big a demand in eastern South Dakota based on what I've heard from people, maybe we need to put an additional 500 tags out there at the same price for our residents to see how big a demand there really is over there. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Thank you. Commissioner Spring.
The way it's set up right now, a non-resident, from what I've understood, it's like third or fourth draw before in East River before they're able to draw. Is that right? They're not included in the first, second draw.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Springs, that's correct. There are no allocations for non-residents for the East River deer season. They would have to wait to the latter draws for any potential leftover licenses to pick up. The only license that an East River for east of the river for a non-resident to hunt would be either a leftover license from an East River deer tag or through a statewide archery license or an East River archery license.
But yet West River has it so that out-of-staters can come in, non-residents. Residents from eastern South Dakota can go to Montana and hunt, go to Wyoming to hunt, go to Colorado to hunt, go to Nebraska to hunt, but yet they don't want nobody coming into East River. That's the way I understand it?
You're correct in the overall structure, yes. So in western South Dakota, there is the 8% allocation for non-residents, and there are the non-resident special buck licenses as well in western South Dakota. When we look over the history, part of that has been a result of looking at the license demand and the number of licenses available in eastern South Dakota versus western. And for the longest time, up to recent history, the most preferred license and demand for licenses has been for East River deer hunting. Those times and interests have shifted. And right now, looking at last year's drawing statistics, West River deer season is right up there with East River deer season in terms of the desire and demand for people to hunt.
So, any other questions for Tom? Otherwise, we need either a motion to accept or deny or reject this proposal. It's end of the day. Sorry. Any discussion? Commissioner Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not inclined at this time to support the motion. However, I would charge the department to work with Mr. Abraham. We'd had talked about a couple different alternatives to the allocations for landowners and the unused allocations that the landowners have, and to try to come up with some type of a formula that may work to take those landowner, unused landowner opportunities before they fall into the next round of the draw. And I think that Doug's got several different scenarios. I think that could work if Tom and Kevin, if you guys wouldn't mind working with him and bringing back and seeing whether or not there's some type of a proposal we could consider from that.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, I agreed with everything that Mr. Abraham had to say. It was all, he was correct on everything, the ag economy and whatnot, but in the end, I, not knowing and wanting to learn a little more how my own neighbors felt, I had a little meeting at the coffee shop with half a dozen landowners, and it was unanimous that they were concerned about residents that were unable to draw. And every one of them, there was two in the room that had herds of 200 or more in their yards that they were having depredation issues with, and yet they were for the land, for the residents and their ability to draw first. And so with that, I'll be against this particular proposal.
Commissioner Boyd.
Thank you. Commissioner Boyd here. I'll just briefly restate my concerns from last month in that I fear the potential to make this harder for the average sportsman, sportswoman to find a place to hunt. I too had a few conversations with folks back home that support that belief, and not specifically directed at this, but just a concern of further creep to pay to play. So I won't be supporting this.
All right, any other discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion, which would be to issue 500 special buck tags East River for non-residents, right? All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Better have a roll call vote.
No.
Olson?
No.
Sharp?
No.
Spring?
Yes.
Whitmire?
No.
Jensen?
No. The motion fails, and we're going to be done for today. And we'll start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we're on track, I think. We did a lot of good business today, so thank you, everybody.